Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com with Mr. Jeff Perry.
UFC all the way, baby.
I know, he's digging that. I did that, last podcast?
Well, aren't we going to do jiu-jitsu soon?
We are. So that's the plan. That's one of the goals. So my goal this year, obviously, is to get two white or two black stripes on a white belt. Would they be black? I think they'd be black, right?
Like a skunk?
No, I think you get two stripes, whatever. But anyways, so I want to get in there and get after it. Are you going to do it?
I mean, I might have to so that I could kick your butt.
Well, that's not going to happen. So
no replacement for displacement?
Exactly. This is a big thing to jackhammer you with.
That does not sound so good.
No, it doesn't. Nope, it didn't. It actually sounded like a line in a porn or something like that.
I mean, I could probably take you out of the legs if I was quick.
Dude, I got metal legs.
I know, but you I could still probably take you down.
Yeah, I'm like RoboCop.
How far down do those metal rods go?
All the way.
See your ankles?
My right leg, it goes from my pelvic bone to my ankle.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And then in my left leg, there's the – it almost looks like a badminton cup.
Are you magnetic? Like if I got a real strong magnet, could I like stick you to it?
I thought you were going to get ready to say suck me to it. No.
Magnets don't suck.
It doesn't show up on metal detectors.
Right.
Because everyone's always like, oh, dude, how do you get through the airport? I'm like, usually I walk. You know,
How does it not? Did they tell you anything about the?
I would imagine because there's so much meat and everything around there, because this is in my bone, which the bone's in the middle.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, literally it goes up through the bone into the pelvic bone, and then there's screws securing it to the bone. So it grew around that, and the metal's just part of me. So, and it's funny because with weather like how it has been, you know, we had a few days that were nice and then went to a string of cold days.
Yeah, we're into a string of cold days. It was supposed to be like 30 today or something like that.
It's stupid. It's cold. But whatever it is, I feel it. You know, it's not great. You can hear it. Like if I squat down, you hear all my joints and stuff. They're like,
ooh.
Maybe not like that, but a lot like that. So, you know, and that's.
The good news is if you have a rod going down there, does that mean you can't break that bone again? Because
no, you
rod,
can break it again.
I mean, you could bend the rod, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's really cool. So I wonder if I get on my roof when there's a lightning storm and I stick my leg up in the air.
Can I watch?
You'd see me on
the roof. I'll probably see you from my house to your house.
You'd see me on the roof like an old stripper or something with my leg up in there, and I'm trying to catch the
You'd be like a cartoon character. When it actually hit, you'd see all your skeletal inside.
That would be kind of cool. So anyways, we're not here today to talk about lightning rods and the metal in my legs and everything else. It actually kind of happened to be one of the funny things. We're actually going to talk about something that I hear a lot of excuses being made of, and that's I'm new in XYZ market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked to an agent not too long ago, and she was talking about how she's a very high-producing agent, mm-hmm. especially for being in the industry for 10 months. And she's ran into –
Count them, 10.
10. 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, 10. That sounds like
months,
something.
Months, not
like,
years.
Yeah, 10 months. And she was talking about how another agent that was licensed at the same time as her had closed zero deals.
In how many years?
In 10 months. The same amount of time. But her excuse was, well, I've only lived here for 3 years. Okay. Like how many real estate agents do you know of? We're in the industry, so we know of a lot of real estate agents. But how many individual people know of real estate agents that have been into the market or in an area for how much ever time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you do research and you're like, okay, I'm going to find an agent that's lived in the area for at least 5 years. You know, it's just not part of it. It's just like we were talking about the awards. You know, you walk in and I'm 40 under 40 and top 100 and top military originator and blah, blah, blah. But nobody has ever walked in the office and looked at them and said,
clients
wow.
Don't come in and go, man, I'm going to do business with you because you're the top 100 in the nation.
Exactly. They do business with me because of who I am and the service that we provide to them. You know, it has nothing to do with the accolades are nice. It's nice as being an alpha individual.
Yeah, the pat on the back is great.
It is. It's really great. You know, a couple of nice slaps on the back, and then you need a slap on your ass and get up and get after it.
I don't need a slap my butt.
Well, you don't. But, you know, it's just an analogy to get up and keep pushing and get after it.
Like coach, I'm in.
For sure. And you know, that was a comparison that somebody had used one time. I think it was Michael Lush. And he was like, what have you done for me lately?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because once the month ends, what have you done?
You
what
go
have you
from done for hero to zero.
Real quick. I go from what? How's
hero to zero.
Yeah, but there's a song. 0 to 100 real quick. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. it reminded me of that. But yeah, I mean, you're back to square one. You got to keep pushing. And the biggest thing is you have to consistently get out there and do the things that you are meant to do, do the things that your mind is programmed to accomplish. Well, and I say your mind is programmed to accomplish. You program your mind to do the things that you want it to do.
Well, and this also, this person that you're speaking of, mm-hmm. didn't have it easy. It wasn't like everything was handed to her in that period of time either.
Right.
So not only do you have somebody that's new in the business, in for that or this market area, whatever the case is, they don't have it. It's not like they had a bunch of people just handed. It wasn't a silver spoon.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing is it's not a silver. And that's – here's the funny
thing.
It's
a lot of work.
Some of the most successful people I find have come from some of the darkest backgrounds.
Absolutely.
You know, you have a – I have a buddy of mine.
The brightest lights come from the darkest areas.
Who said
– I made that up.
That's not a good – like I would never put you on like a postcard as a quote. That's shitty.
Well, so, we know that I don't have that job.
The brightest lights come from the darkest areas. Really? You ever been to the bottom of a well? But no, I mean, take for example, a buddy of mine gets out of the military, you know, is living life, recession hits, you know, market collapses. Mm-hmm. And he's watching his family separate because he went through a divorce. His son's having to – he had no crib or anything. He had to sell all the furniture. Son's sleeping on the floor. And this motherfucker is a badass, you know, when it comes to doing what he does now because he had that dark – you know, hey, this is a reminder that life isn't always peaches and cream, you know. And so I think the difference is people take those lessons and it forces them to drive forward. You know, you look at the hardships and everything else and that gives you the wind in your sail to continue to proceed forward with what it is that you do best or at least keep you from failing. And the nice thing is, you know, I came from a mentally, physically abusive household when I was young. You know, my sister's dad, I was a dumbass, I was a bitch, I was stupid, I was all these names. Now there's very – I mean, you can get me fired up. If you looked across and you're like, you're such a bitch and you were serious, I would punch the Tuesday out of your week. But now that's something you could put on a postcard. But, you know, there's not a whole lot that people can say that no longer hurts somebody like that.
No, but then you turn it around like this person did and you take that as fuel.
Yeah, you take it as fuel.
It's now fuel. These hard things that they're going through, even though they're successful, they're hard things that they have to deal with in a short period of time. They're looking at that like, hey, I'm getting this education in a short period of time of all these horrible things that could happen. Now I'm this much better.
Yeah, you're that much better, that much stronger. You know, Jocko says good. You don't get the things you need, good. There's a reason. You know,
good.
It's a very powerful statement to make because there's good in everything. You know, whether you want to realize it or not, there's good in everything that's bad. It's a lesson to be learned. It's something that didn't happen because of some reason, whatever it may be.
Chain of events, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, but that pushing forward and the continuing to do the things you need to do to be successful is what's important because there's tons of times where I could fall victim to things that happened in my life. I can say, well, I'm not comfortable doing this because this used to happen to me every time I did it. You know, we talked about the other day, I used to be a horrible public speaker. Like I would get in front of people and I would freeze up.
You weren't that bad, but you needed polishing.
Yeah, I needed polishing. I was like a turd that needed
polish. Because I remember those days. I was there with you.
Exactly. So, you know, looking back at it, you look at those things, you're like, all right, well, so it's going to take this extra work and these extra things I have to do. Well, it just became something I did over and over and over and over again.
A lot.
Until I became good at it, you know, and I'm still not great at it. I'm okay at it, but, you know, you continue to work and continue to polish and continue to push and continue to do the things you have to do to be successful. The one thing that we do is we automatically handicap ourselves. Like the conversation we had with the agent the other day when I said, do you do Facebook videos? Mm-hmm. And her response was no. I said, why not? She said, well, you know, because I've had this issue and that issue, which we won't discuss the particular issues, but those were things that she saw in herself because they were things she was aware of, things that we wouldn't have seen.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact is we cripple ourselves with excuses sometimes. Sometimes we allow ourselves to give up before we even start because we've made it okay in our mind that, hey, you know what? I'm not perfect. And so I'm not going to do it because I'm not perfect. Or, hey, I got to get the good equipment before I start doing podcasts, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't. My first podcast, where's that shitty mic at? It's around here somewhere. There's a shitty mic in here. How much did I spend on it? $100?
Not about that.
I don't even know if you could classify that as a shitty mic because it really wasn't that bad. But it wasn't the high-end mic that I use now to start a podcast. Remember, I used to do it on my desk. I would turn the little thing on outside
and tell you not to. Tupac's tank.
in the background. Yeah, I tell you, no, don't make any noise. I'm in here, I'm doing a podcast. You know, now to where I have a room that's dedicated to podcasting and videos, and I have, you know, all this equipment that I'm able to put together and do things with. But I started with very, very basic, minimalistic type things. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think I recorded them into my phone, if I remember
correctly.
Originally,
we did, yeah.
So, you know, but I could have made the excuse. It's kind of like the excuse of, well, I'm new. Well, I was new to podcasting, but I still did it anyways, and now I'm not new.
I remember the days where you're sitting at your computer, and it took forever to figure out what you're doing with a video and a podcast and everything like that, and you were about ready to throw the computer, but you stayed there for hours, and you got through it.
Yeah.
And then now it takes you a couple of minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times we can sew a video up together pretty quick and publish it, and we're good to go. Before, like you said, it was hours of learning and frustration and YouTube videos and everything else. But I knew I wanted to do something. Mm-hmm. I knew I wanted to do videos. I knew I wanted to do podcasts. I got a face for radio. So that's one of the only things that
damn
I can
right.
do.
Anyway.
You're one to talk. you got a face for a pillowcase.
That's right.
But, you know, getting after it and just doing something different in my market. It's so funny because when I first started doing podcasts, they were kind of popular. But now everybody's doing podcasts, you know, and it's not like I've been doing this for a super long time. Imagine if I started this 10 years ago when it wasn't popular at all. That'd be crazy. But, you know, it's getting in there and doing the things, learning along the way. You know, me doing my first podcast was literally off a phone call that someone says, hey, do you know this person? This person's a jerk. Here's why.
It's like learning to buy a house for the first time and forgetting to get a home inspection.
Oh, are you talking about our friend?
I think I am.
Who are you talking about here? Mr. House on the Rock Home Inspection?
That's right.
Dave Ganatra. That's one of our people. We absolutely love Dave. Dave does an incredible, incredible amount of work for our clients. You want to know what you're getting into when you get into something new, especially when you spend that much money on a home. Do yourself, do myself, do everybody a favor. Give Dave and his team a call at 615-717-7900. Thanks for the reminder on that.
Yeah, small price to pay for a lot.
For a peace of mind. Yeah, it's understanding and knowing what you're jumping into. You know, Dave and his team, they're incredible. I should get into doing video radio advertisements.
Yeah,
I
think stick with radio. You're too ugly.
I think I can do radio. I could be like, hey, if you want a dumbass on your team, hire Jeff Perry.
No, oh, I'm easy. Easy.
I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So, but no, I mean, a lot of it's just learning and getting after it and making sure that you're doing the things that you need to do and learning. You know, the biggest thing is learning. I listen to books. I listen to audiobooks. Why? Because I know that I won't read them.
It's one thing about you is you do educate yourself. And I got to say that because I obviously am around you all the time. You will educate yourself on anything. And
that's a good and a bad thing, just so you know.
But he does. Like this – when we got into fish, okay, so I knew a little bit about saltwater fish tanks. I'd had fish tanks for years, and I liked them and everything. And he calls me and he goes, hey, dude, I'm going to get a fish tank for the fish tank. I'm like, or for the
fish tank for the office.
For the office, yeah. And I was like, well, don't go with fresh. Go with salt because at least they look better.
Yeah.
And let me tell you where we're at now.
That was a fucking
with saltwater.
Well, so I go to get it. I didn't realize the tank was 60 gallons. So I buy everything for a 55-gallon tank, including the water, you know, because they – this is how much the rock weighs. Rock weighs X amount of weight. The sand weighs something. And then the water is 8.6 pounds per gallon. So I'm looking at all these factors, and I'm like, it's for a 55-gallon tank. So I get to the office, and I fill this thing up, and I'm like 4 inches short to the top of it. And the filter's not picking up all the water. So I had to go back and get that stuff. But, yeah, it was a nightmare because look at all the fish tank stuff I have now. And the evolution of it. It's because I got into a hobby.
And you educated yourself, though. And yeah. And along the way, and you've educated yourself now to where you're at the high level of a hobbyist.
Yes, absolutely. And people – it's funny because people come to me for advice. I'm like, I don't know. You just tell them random things. They're like, hey, my fish looks sick. What should I do? I'm like, pour a bunch of food in there. They'll eat it. They'll eat it. They'll get fat, and then you can eat it. This way you don't lose all the money on your investment.
Is that why they buy the shrimp?
Right. No, but, you know, a lot of it is just if you're interested in it, why not try to be the best at it? Why not try to learn? That's why I can't balance a bunch of hobbies at once. I have to have very select hobbies because, one, I know it'll bankrupt me. Two, I know I would get obsessed with it. Three, I know I'd want to be the best
at
it.
Yeah, you like to master one and get it done.
But the fun thing about trying to master things is it allows you to be decent at a lot of things. Like Shannon and the kids will tell you, I could fix about anything at the house. Mm-hmm. Whether it's fixed right.
Hey, duct tape works on everything.
It just depends on who's looking at it, but it'll be fixed, you know. Sometimes it's glue, sometimes it's a screw, sometimes it's a zip tie. But, you know, it's about going out there and being the best at your trade. And that goes to people that are using an excuse, well, I just moved to the area. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with anything? You could literally get online and find some of the hot spots in town and go and sit at those hot spots. And mingle with people and introduce yourself to people. Shake people's hands. I got a buddy, Travis Cup. You met Travis. Mm-hmm. Travis would not be afraid to go up and talk to anybody. Like, seriously, it could be a group of people standing over there and Travis will bust right in the conversation. Be like, what's up? I'm Travis. I'm here. I'm doing this. I'm blah, blah, blah. No fear whatsoever. I promise you, you put Travis in a new market, which he's not in real estate, but he's in sales. You put him in a new market and he will shake that market up. You know, he'll get in there and do the things possible because he wants to succeed.
That's like Chris. Chris is the same way.
Robinette?
Yeah.
Yes.
That guy's amazing.
You put him in a room full of strangers, he'll walk out with a room full of friends.
Dude, he walked in the first day I met him. He walked into our office and he starts talking to him like I knew him.
Yeah.
Like literally, I was like, I thought I was having a stroke or some sort of an issue with my brain, which, you know, this happens to me once
the
in a while.
Effect.
You know, I mean, I get a little weird sometimes.
Yeah, you do.
Especially if I hadn't eaten. But this guy literally comes in and starts talking, and I was like, what the hell is going on? Do I know him?
Right.
And this guy's amazing. I mean, I've never met a personality like that.
Yeah, that's a big thing, you know, getting out there and getting after it and not using the excuses. Stop crippling yourself before you can determine if you can walk or not. You know, there's a lot of people that have defied
the
odds.
And if you are thinking that in your head,
mm-hmm.
don't verbalize it. Just get after doing some actions.
Well, what's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to fail a little bit.
Yeah, it's better than failing completely.
Right. Well, you fail completely when you give up.
Right.
So, you know, that's a big part of it. You fail if you don't try, you know, and if you don't ever try, then how do you know if you would have even failed to begin with?
And what I've found with myself, and this is just me being honest about things, if I start making one excuse, the next excuse becomes easier to say and to create.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the big thing is it's very easy to tell yourself a group of lies.
Sure.
You know, you go into the gym.
You start justifying why you can't do something.
Well, it's like this, and you hit the fucking nail on the head. Don't make that swing. Nobody can see you making that swing. You know, it's like you're Bob the Builder or some shit. But no, you hit the nail on the head because there's times I'll go to the gym and I'm like, man, you know, my legs hurt and I broke my legs before, so I have an excuse. I'm only going to do this for a couple more minutes, then I'm going to go off and I'm going to go home. And it's very easy to fall in that group of lies that we say to ourselves to make ourselves feel better about giving up. You know, that's all there is to it. There's nothing stopping me. Is there pain there sometimes? Yeah, sometimes there is. Is it so bad that I can't do something? Not normally. You know, from time to time it is, and it's usually it's something that if I walk it off, I'll get over it. You know, when you were younger and you'd bump yourself or something, the coach would be like, walk it off.
Yeah.
That's literally what it is for me.
Like that agent that we're talking to that said, you know, as far as working hard, yes, it was hard, but it didn't kill me and it wasn't that bad.
Right.
At the end of the day, she ended up being extremely successful.
Exactly. Well, and that's because of the hard work. You know, you remember our friend
that
Cody?
That didn't kill her.
Right. You remember our friend Cody?
Oh, absolutely.
Cody sold nuts and bolts
now for a living.
You're talking
like me.
Nuts and boats. He sold nuts on boats. No, he sold nuts and bolts for a living. We got him in the mortgage industry, and the one thing that he was really, really good at it was working his ass off. You told him how to do something, he would sit down and do it. If you said, I need you to sit on this phone, dial these numbers, and do this until the end of the day, until the bell rings, that's exactly what he would do past the bell ringing. And he became very successful from a nut and bolt. He screwed nutty bolted, and from doing that to selling, you know, mortgages.
Yeah.
And it was because he outworked
and completely
everybody.
Changed his life. And now we're talking selling mortgages or doing whatever you're going to be doing is the component or is the tool to get there. But the man's living a good life now.
And it's whatever you're passionate about. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's what drives you. What do you feel good about? What do you wake up in the morning and you tell yourself, hey, This is what I like to do. Don't get into real estate. Don't get into mortgages. Don't get into anything simply because you think there's fast, easy money to be made there. You know, if there's fast, easy money to be made there, more than likely there's obstacles you're unaware of, you know, or it's a Ponzi scheme. But a lot of times it's stuff you're unaware of. Nobody offers up opportunity that's necessarily easy without a lot of hard work.
No.
So closing thoughts?
No. Anything like that? You know, don't make excuses.
Don't make excuses.
And if you do, don't verbalize them and don't internalize them. Just start doing some actions
yourself.
To get some actions going to get over those.
Could you imagine if they give a handicap placard for everybody that crippled themselves by making excuses?
I did.
You'd go to Walmart and there'd be two regular spots, and that'd be for the cashiers that work there.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.